Let us pray. Our dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for another opportunity that as a church, we can study your word together. Thank you, Lord, that we can feast on your word today. So it is our prayer, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will prepare our hearts for the planting of your word. That whatever we will hear from you today, bring us to true repentance and help us, Lord, to apply your truth joyfully in our hearts. Because our sole desire is to glorify you in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for our brethren who cannot join us today because maybe they are ill or maybe they are out of town. We pray that you will also minister to them. Thank you, Lord. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good morning. It's a privilege to once again stand before you to preach the word of the Lord. This is my first preaching assignment for the year 2023. And 2024. Happy New Year, 2024. It's still the new year. It's still the first half of the year. So to begin with, since I am a school professor, what we will have is a pop quiz first. So what's a pop quiz? Surprise quiz. Okay, we have a surprise quiz. No, we will not have a surprise quiz, but I would just like to use this to catch your attention first because I know for those who are students here, and I know all of us, you kahit nakagraduate na po tayo, once we were students, di ba? And I think one of the things that we don't like to experience when we come inside our classroom is to have a surprise quiz. Right? Right? Parang ayaw nyo yata. In my classes, during our first meeting, like tomorrow is the start of the new semester. I always tell my students, class, don't worry, I don't give surprise quizzes. You know why? Because I don't want to receive surprise answers. Right? Because when you are given a surprise quiz, if you are not ready, then that's it. That's it for you. Right? So yun po yung problema. If a surprise quiz is given to us, we don't like this because we are not ready for it. Right? We are not ready for it. And if we have not prepared for that quiz, we will fail that quiz. So, why am I using this? On the other hand, we would like to have an exam that we have really prepared hard for it. Because we know that if we have prepared hard for an exam, kahit ano pang question ang ibigay sa atin ng teacher natin, we are ready to answer those questions. And for today, the passage that I would like to share is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we will be reading 57 to 58. I'm using the ESV since most of us, if not all of us, do have the John MacArthur Study Bible already. And it reads, ano pong sabi rito sa 57 to 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So for those who are coming from the ministry of evangelism, portion of this I have already shared to you during your Christmas fellowship last December. So I hope that as I share this again to you, this will refresh you as we look at the message of the Lord for all of us. So in this passage, you will find that in verse 57, Paul is exhorting the believers in Corinth that they are in fact fighting from victory already. In other words, they are already equipped for the battle. And since they are already equipped for the battle, Paul now exhorts them. Paul now admonishes them in verse 58 that they should be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that is the admonition of Paul to them. That's why I use the illustration on the surprise quiz. Because if we are not ready in a task that is given to us, sometimes that being not prepared hinders us in our service of the Lord. To the Lord, I mean. But here, Paul is already mentioning to them, this is already what you have. You already have the victory, which was given through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me entitle my preaching this morning as Pressing On Until Christ's Return. So it's still connected with the theme for our fiscal year, to hold fast until the return of Christ. And for the message today, the title already gives us what we will be expecting here. That as we wait for the return of Christ, may we press on in our service to Him. And that is what I would like to elaborate today. How is our service to the Lord? It's still the new year, so I could still consider this message as a new year's message. So as I will be sharing this message, I hope that we would still go back to year 2023, how we have served the Lord, and look forward on how we will be serving the Lord for the year 2024. So don't forget the title, Pressing On Until the Return of Christ. But before I proceed with the message, why was there a need to remind the Corinthian believers about pressing on? Why did Paul write 1 Corinthians 58 for them? Again, let's look at the situation of Corinth. If you will remember when I first preached here last October, I used this illustration, I used this map, because it gives us a bigger picture of what is happening in Corinth. So I have mentioned before that Corinth is situated in Greece and it is strategically situated near a canal that divides the Gulf of Corinth and the Saronic Gulf. And because of that strategic location of Corinth, people coming from the north going to the south should always pass through Corinth. Also, if there are traders that would desire to go to Gulf of Corinth from the Saronic Gulf or vice versa, it's very impractical and very dangerous to still go around that big island. So instead, what they did was they hired people from Corinth to roll their boats from the Saronic Gulf to the Gulf of Corinth. So because of that situation, Corinth became the melting pot. Pag sinabi natin melting pot, different cultures would be coming in, different people will be coming in, and somehow that was a great advantage for Corinth because economically they were so rich because different traders would come in and out Corinth. However, because of many people coming in and out of Corinth, there were also many influences in Corinth. There were so many false religions coming in Corinth. There were different cultures being introduced in Corinth. And people there were embracing these things. And when Paul saw that situation, he knew that this is a very good mission field. That's why Paul now, during his second missionary journey, made Corinth as his mission field. So he went to Corinth, spread the gospel there, and eventually, by the grace of God, Paul was able to establish a church in Corinth, which was called the Corinthian Church. So there were converts, and there were people added to the Corinthian Church. However, Paul needed to leave Corinth again to proceed to his next missionary journey. So he only stayed in Corinth for almost 2 years, then proceeded to Ephesus together with Aquila and Priscilla. And that now entered his third missionary journey. So when he left the church in Corinth, hindi naman po na naging pastorless ang church sa Corinth. Apollos was left there to pastor the church in Corinth. But since it is a very young church, situated in a melting pot, as expected, problems bombarded this church. Still, even though they have already heard the gospel, these cultures continually came in. These false teachings continually came in. And some of the members of the church even continued embracing these new doctrines, these new teachings, these different cultures. But Paul had to leave Corinth. So this time, he is now in Ephesus. So while doing his ministry in Ephesus, he now received two letters. One was a letter from Chloe, and another one was a letter from another group. So these two letters were letters reporting the status and the situation of the Corinthian church. So basically, ang laman po nung letters na yon, are the spiritual situation of the church. And that burdened Paul to write now the book of Corinthians. So this book became a letter to the church in Corinth to address many issues. And in fact, the letter of Corinthians is more on a corrective letter than a doctrinal letter. So you will find that all throughout the book, marami pong binibigay na advice si Paul on how to correct the misconceptions that they have regarding things happening in Corinth. And let's look at some of the things that Paul addressed to the church in Corinth. So if you will just take a glance in chapters 1 to 4, Paul addressed here divisions in the church. So kahit wala na nga po si Paul dito, still the division was seen. Even the division, I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for the Lord Jesus Christ. So even in the church, division came in. That's why Paul also addressed that issue. In chapter 5, he now addressed incest in the church. In chapter 6, he addressed lawsuits between church members. In chapter 6, he also discussed their sexual immorality that is so rampant in the Corinthian church. Remember when I also gave the introduction last October, it was mentioned there that the term to Corinthianize means to be involved in sexual acts. That's why Paul had to address that very big issue. So another thing that was addressed by Paul was seen in chapter 7 regarding the obligations in marriage. Then in chapters 8 to 11, Paul now describes the dinuguan issue. So here you will find the topic on Christian liberties, about food being offered to the gods, Is it okay to partake of these things? So Paul addressed that issue. Then, in chapter 11, Paul now addressed proper worship. Then, in chapters 12 to 14, he discussed there the spiritual gifts. Then finally, in chapter 15, which we will be looking at today, he now discussed the resurrection. Okay? So that's a walkthrough of 1 Corinthians. And don't forget, in chapter 16, Paul now gives the conclusion for the entire chapter. Okay. So let's now look at the first section of the teaching today. So don't forget, our verse is found in 57 to 58. So before Paul now gave verse 57 and 58 to them, if we will just read again 57 and 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, looking at that verse, it starts with the conjunction but. So meaning, it is directly connected to the verses before verse 57. And if you will look at the verses before 57, 1 to 56, Paul discusses about the resurrection. And he discussed not only about the resurrection of Christ, he also discussed about the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of the physical body. Because that was one of the major issues that was raised to him through the letter that he received. And from verse 1 to 56, let me now entitle that section as the foundation. So here, Paul now gives some facts about the resurrection. And Paul wants to use the resurrection to become the main foundation on how they will be serving the Lord. So I will not be exegeting 1 to 56 kasi masyadong mahaba po yun. So we will just go through some of the important details that Paul mentioned about the resurrection. So the first one is in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15. So let's just read those verses. Now I would like to remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. So the first fact that Paul mentions to them is, actually, I have already preached the resurrection to you. I have preached the gospel to you already. You have received it, in which you stand on, and by which you are being saved. But on the last part of verse 2, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. So here, Paul knew in his heart that even in the church in Corinth, there are still some people who might have heard the gospel but have not truly received the gospel in their hearts. That's why he mentions there, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you or the gospel that I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. And if we will look at our church or any Bible-believing church, that is very true. Not because we see people coming in church would automatically mean that that person is a believer. Diba? We should not assume na porque regular na nag-a-attend sa church yan, automatically that person is a believer. So unless that person would hold fast to the truth in the gospel, that person will not be saved. So that is what Paul was mentioning in the first part. You have already heard the gospel. And in verse 3 and 4, he now mentions that this section on resurrection is being preached to you and was already delivered to you in accordance to scriptures. And most likely, the passages in mind were Psalm 16, verse 10, and Isaiah 53, 10 to 11. So if you would like to go through those verses are mentioning about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we still have so many scripture passages in the Old Testament that mention about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So dito po, ini-establish ni Paul the evidence of the resurrection. And furthermore, to strengthen the truth about the resurrection, in verses 5 to 8, Paul lists down several people that witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of those. Verse 5, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So why is it important to mention to the Corinthian church that there are witnesses to the resurrection? Because these witnesses will now testify that indeed the resurrection happened and that the resurrection is real. That's why it was also mentioned by Paul there that, well, some have already fallen asleep or some are already dead, but some are still alive. That includes me. So if you have questions regarding the resurrection, you can actually ask them. They can testify about the resurrection. And if you will go through the New Testament, we have the witnesses seen in all the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, you will find the witnesses in Matthew 28. In the Gospel of Mark, you will find the witnesses in Mark 16. In the Gospel of Luke, you will find the witnesses in Luke 24. In John, you will find the witnesses in John 20. So there are many witnesses that can testify about the reality of the resurrection. Okay? Next, what else? In verses 14 to 15, let's go quickly to those verses. But before that, let's read verse 12. Now, from verse 12, Paul now gives answers regarding the resurrection of the dead. Let me just read verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So what is the issue that Paul wants to address in this section? He knew that in the church in Corinth, many still believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many of them are struggling regarding the resurrection of the dead. That's why during the first section of chapter 15, Paul there establishes the truth about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he now gives the resurrection of the dead. So parang sinasabi niya rito is, you believe that Christ resurrected, but how come you are not believing that there is the resurrection for the dead? So let's go further in verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So in other words, he was telling here, if the truth of the resurrection is purely a lie, then the gospel message is pointless. What we are preaching is in vain. What we are preaching is pointless. So he even mentioned in verse 15, we are even found to be misinterpreting God. Why? Because we testified about God that He raised Christ. So in other words, he was saying, if the resurrection is not real, so it means we are misrepresenting God. We are lying to them. We are saying that God resurrected His Son. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then it means Christ did not resurrect also. Then our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain, and we are misrepresenting God. What else? So again, 17 to 19. Balik tayo sa 17 to 19. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Let's go back quickly to verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. So that emphasis was given. It was already mentioned earlier. But here, he is now saying that if Christ has not been raised, again, your faith is useless. It's futile. And you are still in sin. Because it means what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross is nothing. If the resurrection is not real. Okay? So, verses 17 to 19, if there is no resurrection, then your faith, our faith, is futile. What other facts did Paul mention there? Verses 20 to 26, he now discussed there that resurrection was designed to reveal what lies ahead for the believer. So here, Paul now is mentioning to them, guys, our lives here on earth is not permanent. Soon we will also be dead, and soon we will also be resurrected. And when we will be resurrected, in 20 to 26, Paul mentions there the benefits that we will get from the resurrection. Also, he mentions in those verses that when Adam came, we received death. But when Christ came, we were made alive. Verses 42 to 44, Paul discusses that our dead physical body will one day be resurrected. And this actually answers the question in verse 35. Ano yung verse 35? But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? So that's the question that he would now wanted to answer in verses 42 to 44. That's why he answers there. So is it with the resurrection of the dead? What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Verse 44, it is sown in a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So our dead physical body will one day be resurrected. And in verse 45, Paul now reminds them a similar passage like John 11:25, where Christ was declared as the resurrection and the life. Therefore, whoever believes in him has the promise to live. Even though they die physically, they will be alive with Him in eternity. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Next, 51 to 54. Here, Paul now discusses that our physical body will be altered and change to prepare us for the life to come. So in other words, in that passage, Paul was mentioning, when we will get to heaven, we will not have this physical body that we will have, that we have. We know it has been taught in this church that when we die, when we will have that physical resurrection, we will have glorified bodies. Praise God. Praise God for that. And Paul mentions that to them in verses 51 to 54. And one last fact that Paul mentions to them is in verse 53, that this resurrection will take place when Christ returns. So either we will experience this resurrection when we die or when rapture will come. Praise God. And with the things happening around us, with the wars that we have left and right, with the crisis that we have left and right, we know that the return of Christ is very, very soon. And as we wait upon the return of Christ, how are we? How are we spiritually? How are we serving the Lord? Do we want that when the Lord will return, we will be found doing things that are not even connected to eternal glory? Or are we desiring that when the Lord will return, He will find us faithful? So that's the foundation that Paul gave the believers in Corinth. He mentions to them, brothers, you are already victorious. Christ has already resurrected for you. Your faith is not in vain. The gospel that you are preaching is not in vain because Christ resurrected. And because Christ resurrected, He will also give your physical resurrection for you. And one day you will experience that. And this earth that you are living in, this is not your permanent residence. We are but pilgrims on this earth. And brethren, if you are in Christ, the same foundation is what you have also. The foundation of the resurrection that the Corinthian church had is also the same foundation that we have. And reading now verse 54. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. So sinasabi ni Pablo rito, when we die, and if we will now be resurrected, this saying will now come to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is now defeated. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Where is your poison? Where is your power? And we know that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So here, we now have again that assurance that when we die and we have Christ in our hearts, death now is swallowed up in victory. We can now say, oh death, where is your victory? And we can say, oh death, where is your sting? And that is the victory that we have. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And then Paul now mentions verse 57 once again. And verse 57, let's go back to that. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul was so strong in exhorting them. But my brothers, give thanks to God. Why? Because He gives you the victory. He has already given you the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was so extensive in discussing about the resurrection. And if you will compare chapter 15 with the other chapters of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 is the longest. And since he was giving answers to some questions to the Corinthian church, chapter 15 is the longest answer to one issue that they were having. And he is now saying here, brothers, brethren, you are fighting from victory. You are not fighting for victory. You have heard that statement several times here. And we should always be reminded of that. Because many times, malilimutin po tayo, nakakalimutan natin kung saan tayo nagmumula. That's why when we are not ready for the battle, we think we are not ready for the battle, but in fact, we are ready for the battle because we are fighting from victory. Kaya nga yung sa illustration ko kanina, that's the reason why we don't like surprise quizzes because we are not ready for the quiz. But here, Paul is saying, you are already fighting from victory. You are not fighting for victory. Therefore, give thanks to the Lord. In fact, we can already stop there. But wait, there's more. And Paul now gives the last verse in that chapter, which starts with the word therefore, meaning it is now a concluding remark. Now that you know that this is your foundation, now that you know that this is what you have, therefore. Therefore, my brothers, my beloved brothers. So here, he now trims down his address to those who are still faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember dun sa first part? Sabi niya nga dun, di ba, yung sa verse 1, if you will remember. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. So he was still giving that address to the church in general, those who are faithful and those who are still here, those who have heard of the gospel. But when it comes to verse 58, he was now very specific to whom this verse is to be given. But to you, my beloved brothers. So he was now giving this address to those who are still faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Corinthian church. Don't forget the context of the Corinthian church. Don't forget what is the situation they have in that church. They are the melting pot in Greece. Different cultures are coming in. Different false religions are coming in. False doctrines are coming in. But Paul reminded them, brothers, this is what you have. This is your victory. Therefore, he now exhorts them. So let's look at verse 58. And let me entitle this section as the admonition. So we have seen verse 1 to 56, the foundation of their faith. So now we look at the first part of 58 as the admonition, the exhortation that is given by Paul to the Corinthian believers. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So, tatlo po yung ginamit yung description. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding. Where? In the work of the Lord. So, when we say in the work of the Lord, in our service to our God, in our devotion to our God, in our love for our God. And he mentions here, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding. So isa-isahin po natin yan. Steadfast. If we will look at the meaning of steadfast, this comes from The meaning, it must be fixed, it must be well stationed or securely positioned, not given to fluctuation, steady, di ba? Or moving off course, it is settled, it is firm. And I guess we are all familiar with the meaning of steadfast. Being steady, being firm. And if we will look at the second word that Paul used there, he used the word immovable. So what's the difference of steadfast and immovable? In fact, if we will look at the meaning of immovable, it's the same with the meaning of steadfast. Without movement or change of status or firm. So both words are coming from the same meaning, to be firm. And we know that in the Bible, when words are repeated, or words with the same meaning, or phrases, or verses with the same meaning are repeated, it means the author is giving importance to that message. Binibigyan niya ng diin. Binibigyan niya ng pahalaga nung sumulat. So here, Paul was so deliberate in reminding them, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be firm, be immovable, be firm. Don't be moved. When you do the work of the Lord, be steadfast, be immovable. Again, remember, what's the situation in Corinth? Different cultures are coming in. False doctrines are coming in. False teachings are coming in. But Paul was reminding them, despite all these things happening in your church, be steadfast, be immovable, be firm in the work of the Lord. Don't give in to these new teachings. Don't give in to this culture being introduced to you. Kahit gaano pa kaganda at first glance. Because I have already given you the gospel. Kaya nga yun yung umpisa niya sa verse 1 ng chapter 15. I have already preached to you. You have already received it. You are standing on it. You are believing in it. You are being saved by it. That's what you have. Therefore, stand on that truth. And if you stand on the truth, you must be steadfast. You must be immovable. Nothing should shake you in your service of the Lord. So let's bring this home. Ginagaya ko lang po si Pastor. Let's bring this home. And remember, when Pastor tells us, let's bring this home, it means, dito na natin makikiting application for our personal lives. So if we will now bring this home, whether in ministry and in personal life, and in fact, we cannot and we must not divide our ministry with personal life. Meaning, we cannot say, oh, I'm now in church, so I will do this. When I'm at home, well, I'm free now to do anything because I'm not in ministry or I'm not in church. Because anywhere we go, we are ambassadors of Christ. Okay? So if we will now apply, be steadfast, be immovable, that means we must not be swayed with one culture. Nowadays, still culture in many areas prevail. Many people struggle in believing in the gospel because they embrace culture more than the truth. But it should be the other way around. Truth must dictate the culture and not culture dictating the truth. So let me repeat that. It must be the truth that will declare or that will dictate the culture and not culture dictating over the truth. What else? We should not be swayed with wrong doctrines, with false teachings, with heresies. Praise God that by the grace of the Lord, our church stands on that banner, building truth-founded lives in a truth-driven ministry. That poster is there not just to be a decoration in our sanctuary, because that poster is a reminder for all of us every time we come here that we must be truth-founded, that our ministries must be truth-driven. So to be steadfast in the work of the Lord, to be immovable in the work of the Lord, we must not be swayed with wrong doctrines, we must not be swayed with false teachings and with heresies. And if you've been here in Guiding Light long enough, you already have the radar for false teachings. And you have experienced that. When you go to another church maybe, or if you listen to an online preaching and medyo malabo yung sinasabi pa, nakataas ka agad yung radar natin eh. Teka, parang hindi yan yung sinasabi ng salita ng Diyos. Di ba? Hindi natin sinasabi, hindi yan yung sinasabi ni pastor o hindi yan yung sinasabi ng Guiding Light. Dapat ang basehan pa rin natin is, hindi yan ang sinasabi ng salita ng Diyos. Yun ang basehan natin. But praise God na ating pulpit ministry, nababantayan po ito. Kaya, pasalamat tayo that we are trained how to study what true doctrine is. So we must not be swayed. We must not be influenced. What else? Felt needs. Felt needs. Nowadays, usong-uso ang prosperity gospel. Usong-uso ang claim it theology. Lately nga, hindi na claim it yung nakikita nating ipinopost, di ba? Let's manifest it. Binago na nila. Nirelabel nila. Instead of saying, claim it and you will have it, nowadays, they no, manifest it. Invite the good vibes. Invite the positive vibes. And that will be yours. Will we subscribe to those things? No. Anong tatayuan natin, Lord? You are the sovereign God. What's your will for me? That is what I will embrace. Because you are sovereign. The world may teach us that, claim it, come on, you deserve it. That is what the world is always telling us. Deserve mo yan. Di ba? But is that the truth? So to be steadfast, to be immovable, our lives must be truth-driven. It must be truth-founded. Of course, this is very obvious. We must not subscribe to sinful lifestyle. Not because everybody is doing it means it is acceptable. Not because everybody is doing it does it mean it is acceptable before God. And that is the pressure that is given to our young people now, especially when they are in school. Diyan nila nakikita yung mga makamundong asal. In the schools, they find there some students doing vices. And if you will not do it, oh, you're not in. But if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be pressured. You will not be moved. You will be steadfast. You will stand on what the truth tells you. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So why should I? Why should I give in to your pressures? You may not accept me in your group, that's fine. Because this is my foundation. I belong to Christ. My life must make a difference. Not because everybody's doing it, I will embrace it. And of course, circumstances should not dictate our lives. And here, many of us are tested. When we are going through times of blessings, when we don't have struggles, when we don't have problems, it's so easy to praise the Lord. It's so easy to serve the Lord. But what if the Lord brings us to a situation that is very difficult? Can we still say, Lord, I will be immovable despite this circumstance? I would still be steadfast in my service to you despite this circumstance. Our family might be struggling right now financially. Our family might be struggling right now because some members of our family are really sick. But Lord, you are the sovereign God. You are all-knowing. You have decreed all these things. Therefore, I will be steadfast. I will be immovable. Next. What else was mentioned there? Aside from being steadfast, aside from being immovable, Paul also admonished them to be abounding. And when we say abounding, we're familiar with this. It means overflowing. It means exceeding the ordinary. Nag-uumapaw. When we serve the Lord, we serve Him with overflowing joy. I have mentioned earlier that as we are listening to this teaching, I hope that we are going back to 2023 on how we have served the Lord. Or even during the past years of our Christian life, how we have served the Lord. How we served Him aboundingly. Some of us might say, yeah, there were situations that I have served the Lord with joy in my heart. With joy in my heart. With my heart so full of joy in serving Him. But look at how Paul mentions this to the Corinthian believers. Abounding lang ba yung binanggit niya ron? Ang binanggit niya ron, always abounding. So I guess all of us can say, during our Christian walk, we have served the Lord aboundingly more than once. But the question is, have we done that always? Always. And I know that all of us, including myself, will be guilty. Lord, there are times that I have served you grudgingly. There were times, Lord, that I have served you literally. I am just dragging my feet. Sunday na naman. Practice na naman. May Bible study na naman. Imbis na matutulog na lang ako ngayong Sunday ng hapon, may Bible study na naman kami. But that is the exhortation of Paul to them. Always overflowing in the service of the Lord. So how will we apply this? It means we must serve, we must not serve the Lord in mediocrity. We must not serve the Lord half-heartedly. We must not serve the Lord half-heartedly. Remember, the Lord is all-sufficient. In fact, He does not need any one of us so that His work will continue. Service to the Lord is a privilege given to us by God Himself. So how do we receive that privilege of serving Him? Do we serve Him always aboundingly? Or many times we serve Him half-heartedly? So when we say service to the Lord, sabi ko nga kanina, hindi natin pwedeng paghiwalayin ang ministry with personal life. So I have already addressed on how we will serve the Lord in ministry. How about in your personal life? We have our individual callings. You may be called as a husband. You may be called as a father. You may be called as a wife, as a mother, as a child, as a student, as an employee. Wherever God has placed you, that's a calling that He has given you. And God has placed you there so that you will serve Him there, so that you will glorify Him there. Question. In those little positions that the Lord has blessed us with, are we also serving Him always aboundingly in those areas? Anak, magugas kang plato. Han, hatid mo naman ako sa work. Taxi ka na lang. Hindi ko pa tapos yung series sa Netflix. So even our service to our family members, that's a service to the Lord. And you know what? Dapat may balance rin po tayo eh. Many times, when we are serving the Lord in the church, we serve the Lord with zeal in our hearts. Yes, we may say, yes, I'm serving the Lord with joy in my heart. But there must be a balance. But how are you serving your household? Napaka-active mo sa church. Pagdating mo sa bahay, tatamad-tamad ka naman. And I have heard so many stories wherein some members of the family will complain, oh, church nga yan ng church, serve nang serve sa church. Sa bahay naman, napakabatugan. So remember, our testimony at home will also affect our service to the Lord in the church. So when Paul mentioned here that we should always serve the Lord aboundingly, this must be done anywhere He has placed us to serve Him. Whether this is in our personal life or even in the church context. Okay? So there you go. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us that, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So kahit ano pa, anything that is assigned to us, God has decreed those things for us to accomplish for His glory. So that's the admonition of Paul to them. When you will serve the Lord, serve Him, be steadfast, be immovable, always, don't forget that word, always abounding. So I guess yung always abounding should always resonate in our hearts when we are tempted to murmur, when we are tempted to complain because of a task that is given to us. Bantayan natin yung heart natin. Lord, I want to serve You always, aboundingly. Help me not complain with this because I want to glorify You in all the details in my service to You. Okay? So we have seen the foundation. We have seen the admonition. And now let's look at the second part of verse 58. Which will now be the motivation. So Paul here gives the motivation for them to be steadfast, to be immovable, to be abounding always in the work of the Lord. So bakit niya sinabi yon? So you can do this, you know why? Knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. So Paul here is saying, you know what? The things that you are doing for the Lord, it is not useless. It will not put to waste. Because the things that you will do for the Lord will not be in vain. But before we say, wow, thank you, Lord, that the work that I have given to you is not in vain. Before we say that, first, let's look at the word knowing. Knowing is Like in the same context with the preaching of pastor regarding hope, it is something that is sure, it is something that is certain. So Paul here was saying, if you will be immovable, if you will be steadfast, if you will always be abounding in your work of, in your service to the Lord, you know what? This is sure, that your work, your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. This will be certain. I have used that illustration because that word pictures a child jumping, knowing that her dad will catch her. Yung mga nanay, tatay rito, di ba, nasubukan natin, no, maliliit pa yung anak natin, that we can place our child sa ledge. Come on, jump, I'll catch you. And your child will jump knowing that you will be there to catch him or her. But of course, now, ako na yung sinasalo ng mga anak ko. Kasi malayo na malalaki sila sa akin eh. But that is what Paul was saying here. It is sure, it is certain. What you are doing for the Lord will not be wasted. Will not be wasted. But then again, before we say, yes, buti na lang, hindi na sayang yung mga ginawa ko sa Panginoon. Let's look at the word labor. The word labor that Paul used there. That word comes from the meaning, work to the point of exhaustion. Work to the point of exhaustion. Which means, when we serve the Lord, when we work for the Lord, babalik po siya dun sa always abounding eh. That our service to Him must always be 100%. Work to the point of exhaustion. This word labor is similar to how Paul used hardworking farmer in 2 Timothy 4-6. That's the same definition that he used there. That in 2 Timothy, remember, kailan sinulat ni Paul ang 2 Timothy? He wrote this during his second imprisonment. This was the time that he was about to die. He knew that he might not even come out of that prison cell alive. So he now writes 2 Timothy to give his final billings, final things for Timothy to do. And this is one of them. And he, in this passage, 4-6 in 2 Timothy, Paul uses three imageries on how to serve the Lord. So the last part, serving the Lord is like a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. And labor to the point of exhaustion. A farmer is an example of one who labors to the point of exhaustion. A farmer needs to rise up early, to be in the field the whole day, being exposed to different elements of nature, striking heat of the sun with the rain, with only one thing in mind. He wants to have good crops at the end. He wants that his labor will give glory to his God. Also in this passage, Paul uses a soldier as an imagery on how to serve the Lord. He says here, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Nowadays, we have several wars happening around us. Every time we watch the news, we find soldiers in the news. And at least we get a clear picture of what they do. A soldier who is faithful to his calling as a soldier is not entangled with his civilian pursuits. He leaves his family behind just to accomplish the calling that he has. His dedication is to give glory to the one who enlisted him. And as soldiers in the army of Christ, that is also how we should serve him. A soldier that is not entangled with the circumstances around us. Kaya sabi ni Pablo kanina, be steadfast, be immovable, be focused in your service to the Lord, desiring to glorify Him, desiring to honor Him. And another imagery that he used here is being an athlete. Being an athlete is not easy. By the way, Paul used these three imageries because these are the things very common during that time. And people can understand this. So even the people in Corinth understood this. So as an athlete, but an athlete who is crowned, so again, the goal is to receive the crown to give glory to the king. But there's no shortcut. This athlete must compete according to the rules. So whatever circumstance may be happening around him, he would stay focused because his desire is to please his master. And that is the same calling that is given to us. When we want to labor for the Lord, we must labor to the point of exhaustion. We must give him always our 100%. So for this year, 2024, how will we serve the Lord? So dun sa last part nung verse 58 though, Paul was already giving a motivation for them. Pag tinignan natin yung word na labor, may malalim pa ring message si Pablo para sa kanila. Just make sure that your labor is to the point of exhaustion. In other words, we should not give our, so Lord, I'll serve you today because this is my extra time. I'll give this offering because this is my extra. Is that what is being required of us? When we will give something to the Lord, it must always be our all. That's how we should serve the Lord. So therefore, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So let's now go to the conclusion. So for the conclusion, serving the Lord is not easy. In fact, serving the Lord can only be done because of His grace. Thus, for those who are here, who still don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you still don't have that personal saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, after the service, I am inviting you, please go to the room at the back. Brother Rolly will be there to share the good news of salvation to you. Why is that important? Because that's the foundation of our service to the Lord. Without Christ in our hearts, we can serve the church, we can serve the Lord all we want. But that those service will be lip service only because we don't have Christ. So that's the first calling that I would like to give here. If you still don't have Christ in your heart, after the service, please go at the room there at the back. Next. And for us who are here, who have been attending this church for a long time already, or maybe we've been members of Guiding Light for a long time already, but not yet serving the Lord, what are you doing? Pabalik na ang Panginoon. Kailan pa tayo maninilbihan sa Kanya? When will we serve the Lord? We have 18 ministries in this church. We have no excuse not to serve the Lord. You only have Sundays? You can join the Greeters and Ashers ministry. Maybe you are really physically ill? you can join the BSP so that at home you can intercede, you can pray, you can join the IM. So there are ministries for each one of us here. So what are you doing? So if you've been members of this church for several years already and not yet belonging to any ministry, when will you be part of the work of the Lord? Will we be content that every time there is an announcement here, yeah, that's an announcement, that's not for me, I'm not part of that work? Or are we excited to see the announcements because we know we will be part of that work? Third, for those who are already serving in ministries, the challenge earlier, how is your service to the Lord? Is it steadfast? Is it immovable? Is it always abounding? Because if not, then we cannot say that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because you are not serving the Lord to the point of exhaustion. You are not giving your all to the Lord. So what should we do? First, come to the Lord in repentance. Come to the Lord in repentance. Ask for forgiveness. Lord, so many times I have served you half-heartedly. Forgive me for those times, Lord. And for this coming year, enable me. Enable me to serve you wholeheartedly. As I serve you, help me apply 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58 in serving you. To be steadfast, to be immovable, to always aboundingly serve you. To serve you to the point of exhaustion. Because you have already died for me, and on the third day you rose again. That is my victory. That is my foundation. Help me serve you. Lastly, I don't know if any one of us can claim number four, that for all our years as a believer, we have served the Lord steadfastly, always, immovable, always, abounding, always. But just in case, you classify yourself under number four, remember, the battle is not over. The battle is not over. We cannot put our guard down and say, well, I'm fine with my service of the Lord. Time to rest. Time to relax. Nung family day nga po natin, when the youth band was playing, I was beside Pastor and I said to Pastor, Pastor, oh, may mga bata na. Pwede na kami mag-retire. As worship leaders. Sagot ni Pastor, in the service of the Lord, there is no retirement. So, if we are in number four, the battle is not over. Blessed New Year. I hope hindi po kayo galit sa akin. For this year, may we press on. May the Lord find us faithful in serving Him. So before we end in prayer, before we end in worship, as usual, let's find a partner only, please. Let's share what we have learned from this teaching. Guiding Lighters, makipartner po tayo sa ating mga bisita. So if you can find another partner, hindi naman yung dating kampiyon, please find a new partner that you can share what you have learned from the teaching today. You must be praying by this time already. So kung nasa sharing part pa lang po tayo, let's wrap up those insights already. So you can end the sharing time with a prayer. So let's wrap up those prayers already. So we will be closing in a song and then we'll close in prayer. Let's just wait for those who are still praying. May I now invite everybody to please stand. We'll be singing Psalm 62, My Soul Will Wait Upon the Lord. And as we sing this song, let's meditate upon the lyrics of the song. Let's go back to the foundation that the Lord has given us. We have been saved by His grace. He died for us. He was buried. On the third day, He rose again. And because He is the risen Savior, because He is the risen Lord, our faith is not in vain. Therefore, any circumstance that may be around us, let our souls wait upon the Lord.
Serve it, Lord. This is love I can't explain.
Help us to wait upon you. Help us, Lord, to be steadfast, to be immovable, to always abound.
Pouring out our hearts before you, we will trust in you.
You are our perfect Savior.
Perfect Savior, strong defender, we will trust in you.
Let's pour out our hearts to Him. Thank Him that He is our Savior and our Lord.
Perfect Savior, strong defender.
And now let's put our trust in Him. In You and in You alone, Lord. So we place our trust. Let's give the Lord the best praise offering that He deserves. Hallelujah. We praise You. Lord, thank You that You are our strong hope. Thank You that You are our foundation. Thank You that You died on us, that You died for us on that cross. You were buried. And thank You, Lord, that You did not remain dead. On the third day, You rose again. That even death, You conquered it for us. So that our faith is not in vain. Our teaching is not in vain. Thank You, Lord, that You are our firm foundation. And because You are our firm foundation, we give thanks to You. We give thanks to You. Therefore, Lord, as You have given us that firm foundation, help us now to serve You in a way that it will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, knowing for certain, knowing for sure that our labor in You is not in vain. Thank You, Lord. Burn this message in our hearts, and may we serve You wholeheartedly for the rest of our lives. May we press on until the return of Christ. May You find us faithful. Thank You, Lord. Father, even in our giving, let it be a form of service to You. Let our giving be joyful. Let our giving be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding as well. Thank You, Lord. You know the needs of this ministry. We pray, Lord, that Your provision for this church will be a furtherance of Your glory in and through this church. Thank You, Lord. And Father, I pray now for every heart represented in this place, for every heart who joined us through the live streaming. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you po.